Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, you've given us a really good exhortation for today to be ready for what's coming. And we ask, Lord, that everybody understand it and choose God and repentance and sanctification over just doing their own thing. We just ask you, Lord, that everybody will be ready for this wonderful time coming in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, I'm going to share with you Revelation. We called it Hurry, Repent, Fire is Coming. And it was given to Vanessa Weeks on March the 11th. And it's very good. She said, I had a dream, which I think is an encouraging exhortation. It was daytime, and I was standing in a tunnel that was made to walk through. The ground was covered with sand, and the light was coming in from the outside so that I could see. This was a short tunnel, and it somehow led into a longer tunnel. I was alone in this tunnel. After I woke up, I asked the Lord what this tunnel represented, and I believe He showed me it is death to self, to rise on the other side. And Barry made a note here, like a baptism. Yes. Remember your baptism. It's an act of faith. You're believing that you died, were buried, and resurrected with Christ. It's an act of faith. Something that we can look back to tell the devil, no, I don't have to follow you anymore. I've been delivered. Jesus lives in me. Amen? Amen. And I asked for a scripture about the tunnel and received by faith at random, 2 Kings 20 and 5. Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the prince of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Wow, okay, so the third day is, of course, Resurrection Day, just like the tunnel. And Hezekiah represents the man-child who is caught up to the throne of God. And Vanessa here, I believe, represents the bride who is following the man-child through the tunnel. So, Father, we thank you that you're doing this in your body. You're preparing a ministry here, a man-child and a bride, to manifest the resurrection life of Christ to the body of Christ so that the body of Christ itself will also come into the manifestation of the sons of God. And we thank you for this wonderful plan that you have, Lord. I know that history always repeats, and that people will miss the man-child, that is, those who are counted unworthy, will miss the man-child just like they did in Jesus' day. And they will persecute the bride just like they did in Jesus' day. So, but Lord, we must be ready for this ministry, and we're thanking you for this revelation. So Vanessa went on to say, while I was standing there, I heard a man just outside the tunnel. There were a lot of brush and some small trees outside where he was. He was advertising his product, which was shoes, or something to spray on your shoes. The advantage of the shoes was for the protection of the person wearing them. And she quotes what she heard, that fire would not hurt them, and that smoke from fire could not be smelled on them. Well, you know what that points to, right? And I believe that the shoes represent the walk of repentance and faith that the man is preaching. And I would say that that's John the Baptist, or the John the Baptist ministry. And it's a spirit, you know, just like it was, he came in the spirit of Elijah. And today, the spirit of repentance is going forth, spoken through many people, to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. And what she got was Daniel 3:27. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard of these men, that's the three that went through the fire, right? That the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged. I think hosen is used in our Bibles a lot. Nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Praise the Lord. They weren't touched by the fire. What did the fire burn up? Their bonds. What was burned up was their bonds in the fire. What does that represent? The old man. The old life. Amen? That is so good. Well, Father, let it be. Let it be that we submit to your corrections, your spirit in our inner man, and walk this crucified life. Well, she went on to say, he had a loud voice as he proclaimed this, and it seemed he really wanted whoever heard him to wear the shoes, and he was urgent about it. We've been getting some urgent messages here lately. I believe the Lord is close, and I believe the message of repentance needs to prepare people for the coming of the Lord in his body. But I did not see anyone out there because it was a rural area. In other words, it didn't seem that he was speaking in a city, but in a rural area, like John the Baptist was, right? She gives the verse, Matthew 3:3, for this is he that was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, a rural area. Make ready the way of the Lord. He was speaking to the people in the wilderness. All right. Make his path straight. Okay, so we need to humbly submit to his word. Make his path straight. Anything that we're ignoring at this time, he's saying, hurry, put on those shoes. Right? I believe the repentant spirit in the John the Baptist ministry is preparing people for the coming of the Lord. And it is urgent that we hear and repent quickly before he comes in the man-child ministry. It will be too late to be in the bride body once the man-child ministry starts. Jesus chose the bride at that time, right? John said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Those people, those first fruits people out of the church to follow the man-child or the bride. So this is how the bride is being chosen. We've been warned for the last couple of years strongly, you know, for people to take this time, redeem this time, repent, draw close to the Lord if you want to be in the bride, right? And then I realized that I had those shoes on. And they were white, dressy sandals. And she gives Ephesians 6:14-16. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. All circumstances take up the shield of faith. In all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let us be dressed up in the armor and cast down all the evil darts, all the arrows of the wicked one. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be overcomers. The promise is to the overcomers to sit down with Jesus in his throne as he overcame and sat down with the Father in his throne. Promises to overcomers. Overcoming what? Overcoming sin. If you know the gospel and the good news, you know how it's done. You behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and you're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. You accept the free gift of Jesus who lives in you. If you go around saying Jesus can't live in you, that's what you'll have. Be it unto you according to your faith. If you don't believe it, like a lot of the churches teach, then you can't come into this. This has to be a work of God. It has to be a creation of God. It can't be a seed of man. The Virgin Mary brought forth Jesus. No seed of man can do that. You see, it has to be the seed of God, which is the word of God in our hearts, sown in our hearts by the sower, Jesus Christ, right? And that seed is himself and his fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. And Vanessa went on to say, after a while I saw he had a torch that was a large stick. And he started lighting the brush and the small trees on fire. He was still proclaiming these shoes. And I thought he was demonstrating how the fire could not hurt the shoes or the smoke on it be smelled. So I took off my right sandal to see if he was right, and I smelled it, and there was no smell of smoke. And I put it back on. Good thing. Put it back on. Well, you know, what brings the fire? Truth. It makes people responsible. Once people hear the truth, then they'll either be judged or blessed, because they'll either act on it or they won't. So to whom much is given, much is expected. You who have listened to a lot of word out there should know that a lot of word comes to manifest Jesus Christ, because he is all of the word. But also, if you reject it, there is judgment to follow, because to whom much is given, much is expected. And the ministry of the repentance spirit that goes forth from those who are being used as John the Baptist, which could be many, many people, God's not limited in that regard. That message is doing two things. It's bringing judgment, and it's bringing repentance and the great manifestation of the bride going through the tunnel, right? Fire, of course, I believe here represents judgment, which will come before Jesus manifests in the man-child ministry body. Therefore, we must be ready to walk through it without being burned, obviously. And repentance is the thing that will bring about that safety. Repentance and faith will bring about that safety. Isaiah 62 and 11 says, "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion," which is the daughter of Zion in our day, right? "Behold, thy salvation cometh." Behold, his reward, meaning the salvation is the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming to save the bride and judge the Edomites. This is what we know from Scripture over and over. Save the bride from the Edomites and judge the Edomites. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Why is his reward with him? Because he's coming to choose the bride, like Jesus did. You, come follow me. All right? And his recompense before him. Notice that John was setting the fire, right? Repentance was bringing a judgment. There is a judgment coming before the Lord comes in his man-child. His recompense before him. It is, of course, as Isaiah said, his blood-stained garments with the Edomites, right, who have persecuted his people. Matthew 3 and 10 says, "And even now the axe lieth at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down." So that's why he said, hurry, "is hewn down and cast into the fire." See, the fire is there prepared. Matthew 3 and 12. "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff will he burn up with unquenchable fire." Chaff has a double meaning here. Chaff is around the seed. You know, it can be people around the seed that are chaff, but also it's the old man who is around the seed who is chaff. So it kind of have a double meaning here. The fiery trial you go through is for that purpose. Some people want to avoid the fiery trial, but you have to go through it, and you have to do it God's way. And you have to use the word to do it. And repentance. Matthew 5 and 22. "But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Racha, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire." So the hell is coming to get the people who have persecuted their brothers. Right? Now Jesus looked around about upon the people, and he said, called some people fools. And, you know, Paul did basically the same thing. But he wasn't doing it in the flesh. They were doing it in the spirit. You can tell who a fool is. The Bible tells you very plainly. I guess Proverbs is probably the best. Psalms and Proverbs pointed out the very best of who is a fool. There are fools. And I'll tell you what. When the Lord turns you over to a reprobate mind in these factious spirits and witchcraft that's in the government and in some of what's called the church, those people become fools, and everybody can look on them and see that they're fools, you know. We ask, you know, of course, that the Lord deliver people from their foolishness, which Paul did in Galatians, you know. I had been standing there this whole time listening to this man. Then came into the tunnel with the torch. Then he came into the tunnel with the torch. And with urgency, and in a loud voice, was saying to me, "Hurry up, hurry up. Get on through here," you know. He meant hurry and run through the tunnel. Don't be messing around. Why? Because he is to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. Right? So, the man said, "I am right behind you with this torch," unquote. So hurry, saints, repent and believe so that the fire doesn't burn you. There is a judgment coming. I believe the deep state is going to be used to release it. So, as we've been saying for some time, and when you're repented, you can have boldness towards God. And whatsoever you ask of him, you receive it, because you do the things that are pleasing in His sight. All right. After I woke up, I asked the Lord what I was supposed to do quickly. What am I supposed to do quickly? And receive by faith at random, Luke 22:54. And they seized him and led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. Okay, so we're talking about the crucifixion, right? The crucifixion of the flesh, right? We need to quickly cooperate with God in the crucifixion of the flesh. So I think the Lord is telling me to hurry up and deny myself and be dying with Christ. I started to run, and I felt like he was getting closer. That is the man with the torch. And I asked for a word about my running in this tunnel and received by faith at random, Romans 4:16. For this cause it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all of the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What he's saying is, physical running is not the kind of running he's talking about. It's the spiritual running. And you can't run without faith. Faith is what justifies you before God. And only when you're justified before God do you get grace, which is God's favor to be able to run the race and to take hold of the promise, as he says in this text here. So you continue to believe and to confess with your mouth unto righteousness and unto salvation. Continue to confess that the Lord took away your sins, and be diligent to take hold of every opportunity to not only confess that, but to walk in it. You know, because you believe he took away your sins, and you're not believing that sin has the authority over you, you can walk away from sin on the grounds that God says so. See, there are hearers of the word, and then there are doers of the word. When you believe and confess, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you're confessing your way to salvation, and you're walking it out. Faith without works is dead. In other words, when you speak it, walk contrary to the devil, contrary to the flesh, walk towards God, and run through the tunnel. Right, it's a crucifixion. Repentance has to come before faith. And with faith, we are counted as righteous, and we're given grace as our power to obey. A lot of people don't know how to get power, and some people have no faith that they have power, or that they've been given power, or that they can be right with God, or that they can overcome sin. They're just told, well, the preacher says, just accept forgiveness. And that's because he doesn't know the gospel. He's not preaching the gospel. At first, it seemed like I was climbing and I had to use my hands also. I knew I could not look back, and I was not afraid, but I knew I had to hurry to get to the end of the tunnel. And she gives Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, which is necessary, and stretching forward to the things which are before. And then he went on to say, well, I press on to the prize of high calling, right? So, you know, this is what we must do. The devil likes to remind you of the things behind. That's not where you are, and that's not who you are. You were crucified with Christ. That's the old man. He's dead. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. you want to go towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you must do it by faith. You will not attain if you don't. I did not think of him as an enemy, but someone who was admonishing me to run faster. Well, of course, that's exactly what a John the Baptist type would do, right? As I was running, I could hear from outside the tunnel Barry and others cheering me on. Amen. And she gives a very good verse for this, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Some things are just distractions. They're just weights. They're not in themselves. They're not sin. But they're not getting you to the goal. They're not helping you to run through this crucifixion of self. Lay aside every weight and the sin. So there is also sin that keeps us back, which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that something? And he also said, you will do that too if you overcome, right, in Revelation. So we keep our eyes upon Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you, Jesus. Please fill us with your faith. We don't want to miss this wonderful, wonderful gift, oh God. And despise shame. People try to shame you when you walk the crucified life, like you're foolish to do that. Because why not? Look at all the other helps that man gives around you. You know, why not rely on them, you know? She said, even though he was behind me with the torch and I thought he was getting closer to me, I did not feel the fire. I got through the first tunnel and into the second, longer tunnel. I saw broken glass on the right side of the path where I was running. I believe the broken glass on the path represents the pain of walking with our cross of death to self. The nail in the feet of Christ could represent this, right? I didn't like running on the glass, no one does, and it made it harder to keep running, but I did not trip. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random about this glass and received Leviticus 19 and 37. And you shall observe all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them. No, it's painful to the flesh to obey God's word, right? I am the Lord. And of course, the Lord said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? No, do what I say, right? Obeying Jesus is a crucifixion of the old man. You're not feeding the old man anymore. You're feeding the new man. So I found these verses about not stumbling, because she didn't stumble. She kept running and did not trip. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they that love your law, and they have no occasion of stumbling. Do you love the law of the Lord? You won't stumble. 1 John 2 and 10. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him. So another thing, loving the brethren, right? Jude 24. Now to unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy. Listen, without blemish, contrary to popular opinion out there, who is able to do this? God. Yes. He's able to do this, keep you from stumbling and make you without blemish, which is what? That's what his bride is, right? The glass in the path made me think of going to the left side where the ground was clear and smooth, but I didn't have time. You really don't. That's wasting time. You're over there where there's no pain. You know, we must endure the pain of walking contrary to the world, right? The world will always choose the easy way, right? I know I got through the second tunnel because I came out on the other side and saw Barry and a few other people, and we were standing on a large rock. All right, standing on a large rock that is up high. After I woke up, I was hearing the song in my head, "We Want to See Jesus Lifted High." Good song. I love that song. So what came to me about this, the rock lifted high, was Psalm 61 and 2. "From the ends of the earth will I call unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Yes, call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Pray. Do you pray? A lot of people don't. You have not because you ask not. Right? That's a terrible thing. All you have to do is pray. Go to the Lord. Ask Him for whatever you need. He knows you're in a hurry at this time, and He will help. In this morning's meeting, Taomi received Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and I thought it was a confirmation of this dream. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, let us also, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight." There it is again. See, we got a confirmation there. "And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him." Do you have a joy set before you of the great thing that God is planning for you? I hope so. "Endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And then she said, David shared Missy's dream of the Lord telling her to hurry, which I thought was another confirmation. And Missy said, "I had a dream with two parts. Basically, what the Lord conveyed to me was that I wasn't to forget to get some extra food. And the other part was a scene where I was driving my car and I ran out of gas. And when I ran out of gas, I looked down at my gauges and thought, I forgot to get more gas. And then I drifted and steered over to the side of the road into a parking area. I was already in the process of doing these things, but I believe the Lord wanted me to hurry and get them done." Well, I don't know if you know about this, but we've been exhorted by the Alliance to have extra food and water and gas and to stay inside when the deep state retaliates for their loss of power and the declassification of their secrets. Uh-huh. Okay, so I believe that they are right. I believe that we've been told over and over that they're going to retaliate, especially with a plague and violence, and they're doing it now. So I did most of what I needed to do today, and I believe that something is going to happen very soon, that the extra food, water, and gas is going to be necessary. I've never had dreams like this, that the Lord impressed me to hurry and get something done. I also had a dream about the man, child, and bride coming right after this dream to get supplies. I believe from this that the anointing of the man, child, and choosing of the bride are not far behind the preparations. Okay, well, let's look at the dream Missy got on March the 18th. And she called it Man, Child, and Bride. "In a dream, I was watching a video, I believe on YouTube. There was a groom, I believe it was Jesus in the man-child, first fruits corporate body, and a bride, the bride company, standing on a stage, and she believes it's a worldwide stage, yes, and there was a love song being played, Song of Solomon. This song is their love story. Also, what came to me was Psalm 45, which is titled, A Song Celebrating the King's Marriage. That's a big celebration. It's about to happen. Here it is in part. Psalm 45, I'm going to give you 2 through 13. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty one. This is, of course, the groom. Thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride on prosperously. And of course, the groom is riding on in this revelation. Because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp. The peoples fall unto thee. They are in the heart of the king's enemies. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of equity is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of ivory palaces, stringed instruments have made thee glad. King's daughters are among thy honorable women. Notice these are not the bride, though. At thy right hand doth stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So will the king desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and reverence thou him. You have to put him first above family. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. The rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter within the palace is all glorious. Her clothing is inwrought with gold. God's going to give gifts of gold to the bride. We've seen signs of this. Very interesting signs of this lately. During the song being played, there was a brief clip of two of them when they had gone on an excursion into a forest on red ATVs. There he is, riding on prosperously, right? Our vehicles must be washed in the blood through repentance and faith. A red ATVs, that's also a wilderness vehicle, right? Right. And Missy puts Jesus taking his bride through the wilderness of trials and tribulations to get rid of the flesh. Yes. Riding on the red ATV could represent resting from our works. It represents Jesus has done it all by sacrificing his life and shedding his blood. Amen. Amen. That's true. And at the end of the song, all I saw was the two of them up close. All I saw clearly was the bride's face. I didn't see the groom's face. She was so beautiful. She had the most beautiful blue eyes and the most beautiful complexion. No spots, wrinkles, or blemishes. Amen. And she gives Ephesians 5 and 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, there is a people that are doing this, and they're taking this seriously, getting ready to be blemishless, working on those blemishes by faith in God, and the rest is all sound asleep. So the first ones, of course, to manifest this brideship, of course, is the bride. She didn't have one bit of makeup on. She had beautiful, shiny, dark hair that was pulled back under a white veil that draped down the back of her head. And Missy got Psalm of Solomon 1 and 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest thy flock, where thou makest it to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that is veiled beside the flocks of thy companions. Notice that the church is veiled. The bride is not. Right? So she refused the veil. And 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says, but we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In other words, she was looking at her groom's face with love as tears welled up in her eyes, she said, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, for now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. Wow, this manifestation for the bride is going to be wondrous. She said, I like the song. And he said, I did too. Then she said, oh, you did? All I could see around them was the night sky, except that there was a glow on the horizon, I guess the dawn, and a single bright star in the sky. Revelation 22 and 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And 2 Peter 1 and 19. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place. Yeah, let the word of God shine into your heart. Point out those things that you need to take care of, right? Repent of. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So we want that Jesus to be manifested in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the face of Jesus Christ. After I woke up, I thought about the dream for a little bit. And then looked at the time on the phone, and it said 10:10. Right away, I thought of the phrase, according to the order of Melchizedek, that has a gematria in Hebrew of 10:10, which is from Psalms 1:10 and 4. This chapter is about Jesus, and by type, Jesus in the man-child ministry. And it's titled, quote, Jehovah give dominion to the king, unquote. In Hebrews 7 and 17, it says, quote, after the order of Melchizedek, which the gematria in Greek is 2020. Well, my thought was 2020, that's twice 2010, right? This is double the original Hebrew quote. I believe that this could mean that it has a double meaning and a double fulfillment. The first being Jesus, and the second being Jesus in the man-child body of the first fruits. Because history always repeats, you see. Yes, Jesus is coming again, and he's coming before the tribulation. Not to take the church out, because Jesus didn't do that either, you know. But we have to go through tribulation. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. But Jesus will be with us. And he'll be with us in the man-child body. Right? Psalm 110, 1 through 7. A psalm of David. The Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Well, interesting. Listen to what Jesus said in Revelation 3 and 21. He that overcometh will I give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So, this is a promise to overcomers. Verse 2, the Lord will send forth the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. So the rod of thy strength out of Zion, he tells him to rule in the midst of the enemies. Thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power in holy array. Out of the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord promised to restore thy youth as the eagle, right? Amen. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's an order. It's not two people. It's an order. You understand? So the Lord, and let me say that we're not taking anything from Jesus here, because without Jesus in you, you couldn't be in this order. And that's what the manifestation of Jesus in you does, is it makes you after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand will strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Listen, folks, this is about to happen. He will judge among the nations. He will fill the places with dead bodies. He will strike through the head in many countries. Here's a confirmation. Haggai was told the same thing in Haggai 2, 22 through 23. And it was for Zerubbabel, a type of the man-child ministry, which means Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. He was the first fruits to come out of Babylon. A first fruits, right? I will overthrow, here's what he said, I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. There it is. So he's telling you who is doing this. Who's going to do this? Jesus in the man-child ministry. He will drink of the brook in the way, therefore will I lift up the head. That's verse 7 of our Psalm 110 text. And I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random for the dream, and received Psalm 72 and 6. And here's the context. Psalm 72, it was called the Reign of the Righteous King, which is similar to the title of Psalm 110. Verse 1, a Song of Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. You know, Solomon received wisdom, which was hearing, it was said to be. Well, who did he hear from? God. Where did his wisdom come from? God. He spoke the judgments that God spoke to him. So, anyway, again, we see a double fulfillment of the king and his son. You know, God was in Jesus, a type of David, and God was in his son. And, also Jesus was in David, and Jesus was in a body called the seed of David according to the flesh, Romans 1 and 3. So he is in his son. It's normal for anyone who has a son to be in them. Each seed brings forth after its own kind, right? You wonder why the son looks and acts like the father, right? Well, in this case, when the father is the Lord, it's a big difference. And Jesus ministered in a body of the son of David. And he ministers in the firstborn sons today, called the man-child. He will do mighty works today, too. Because he said in John 14 and 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. There it is, overcomers doing the works of their Lord. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Well, he went to the Father in order to come back in a corporate body that we call the body of Christ. Now, some people are claiming that position by faith, but others are beginning to manifest that position. The first fruits to manifest this in these days is the man-child. And when we read the rest of this text, we can see that what the Lord will do through his body. Notice, he's always done it through his body. He's spoken through the prophets and things came to pass, right? Why do we think it's strange? He spoke through the body of the son of David, according to the flesh, speaking about the body of Jesus, and things came to pass. Well, he's still going to do that. He still chooses to do that. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. He will, verse 2, he will judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with justice. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the hills in righteousness. Of course, the people, when they came out of Babylon, had to go back to the mountains and hills of Israel, their promised land. The high places of their promised land, right? He will judge the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. Yes, that's what the man-child is coming to do, and it's because Jesus is in the man-child by his word and by his spirit. He'll break the oppressor. You notice when Jesus came back, the blood of the oppressors was sprinkled on his garment. He trodden the press. And then he came to the bride and gave her her reward. Yeah. They shall fear thee while the sun endureth. So long as the moon throughout all generations, he will come down like grain upon the mown grass. And Peter said, all flesh is as grass. So the anointing is upon the cut down flesh, right? As showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish in abundance of peace until the moon be no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from river unto the ends of the earth. Well, you remember Revelation 11 and 15. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And when was it? At the last trump, right? So the dominion of the Lord is going to bring us all the way through the tribulation, and then these people also will come with Jesus to judge the wicked for a year, called the great and terrible day of the Lord. And they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall render tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Does this remind you of Revelation 2 and 26? And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. Now, I know they think that's talking about the millennium, but it's not true. And they're about to find that out. Matter of fact, these people are exercising some dominion and authority now over the nations. And they're seeing answered prayers too. The command to hurry is for both the man-child and the bride who are about to be manifested to do the works of Jesus. Verse 12. For he will deliver the needy when he crieth, and the poor that hath no helper. He will have pity on the poor and the needy, and the souls of the needy he will save. He will redeem their soul from oppression and violence. Yes, Jesus is coming to judge the oppressors. And coming in the man-child to judge the oppressors and the violent. And precious will be their blood in his sight. And they shall live. And to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. And the men shall pray for him continually. They shall bless him all the day long. There shall be abundance of grain in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him happy. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And verse 20 says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Amen. It's a wonderful revelation, isn't it? Well, Lord, we thank you for your wondrous plan. We thank you that you're about to bring new ministry to the earth, to take the place of the Saul ministry. You're bringing the David ministry. And you're going to restore the leaders as at the beginning, as you said in Isaiah. And we thank you, Father, that you are coming to do this job. You're not delegating it to any man whatsoever. You are manifested in flesh once more. God with us once more to do this work. You, Lord, will march throughout the earth and bring justice and judgment and deliver the poor and the needy and meet the needs of your people once more, just like you did 2,000 years ago in that body called the Son of David. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your wondrous, wondrous works. We praise you and we thank you for continuing to get your people stirred up here to hurry through the tunnels. Hurry and be quick, quicken our pace to repent and to do all that we know the Word teaches. Thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you for pricking our consciences. Thank you for rising up in us and bringing to remembrance all things that you have said unto us. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, saints, bless you. Now, we bless Michael Hare, too. Michael's coming to share a word, and we just ask your anointing upon him, Lord, and upon everyone who listens, and that needs will be met, and people will grow in the wisdom and stature of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Good night.